I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo! Check this out.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is a safe space for you independent thinkers out there. I'm either looking to join or maybe I'm going to be leading. I'm not sure how it's going to go. There's some kind of a support group for fiscal conservatives. Really, probably conservatives across the board in a time of crisis. Conservatism is twisted and manipulated to make, you know, in fear time. This is like the Patriot Act time. We're conservatives who refer personal responsibility and liberty and freedom and all these catchphrases that we always talk about. But during the time of fear, post 9/11, we are just happy to give up as much spending and let the government grow as big as it possibly can. So I am going to be leading what I guess is essentially could be considered some level of a support group for people out there who can look at what's going on in our country right now and say, hold on a second. You know, Trump talks a lot about the cure when he means the lockdown, the cure being worse than the disease. And I'm kind of with him on some of that. It's weird times. I still cannot wrap my mind around what we're doing is right or wrong. But the rest of the cure that I would point to is legislation and other things that are happening, which we'll talk about today. And I've got a story to tell you in just a little bit here, in a couple segments, that you need to stick around for. Americans are so bad with their shiny object syndrome. We're like cats or squirrels, just unable to really focus on something and understand anything with any level of depth because we're given some shiny object that diverts our attention. And so if you can't stick around for that, the show is podcast. You can go to themikemadisonshow.podbean.com. You can get a link to it on WYAB.com, or you can subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts. Because this is so dramatically important, this bailout situation. The dust has settled a little bit on this. I was talking about it a lot last week as all of the ideas were flowing around. The Democrats were trying to get their craziness and the Green New Deal put into this last thing. But, you know, I talked about it on Friday. Nancy Pelosi, as disgusting as she is, she's a political genius. She asked for absurd amounts, insanely absurd amounts for different social programs. And she didn't get that, but she got a lot for them anyway. But the nature of the bailouts, the way it's being presented, particularly to conservatives. Now, I have no faith in liberals. Liberals want the government to give them everything. So I don't speak to liberals on this issue because they're too far gone, vast majority of them. As much as I like the good hearts of good liberals, I'm very different than most conservative talk show hosts. I don't really call them and name them and shame them constantly because I appreciate the heart of someone who wants everybody to have good health care or these things. It's just the problem is they're not thinking it through, and I'd rather appeal to them that way. But when it comes to government spending and government programs, most liberals are lost. But for conservatives out there, you may be interested to actually find out the truth about the bailouts. I'm going to cover that in just a little bit. If you're somebody who likes to stick your fingers in your ear and just whistle past the graveyard, this could be painful. This is kind of red pill radio for those people who are ready for the truth about what's going on in the bailouts. The news during the weekend, breathless as ever. You know, this is just such an odd time. As I've said many, many times before, I can wrap my mind. You know, I'll parse through this bailout stuff and give you the facts on it. Pretty easy for me to see what's going on. When it comes to the reaction to the coronavirus, because there are a lot of people out there still saying this is just a hoax. This is nothing but the flu. But then there are stories of real people dying. It's kind of interesting. I just breezed through a story this morning that the death rate in the United States of everything else is going down. you know, people are locked up. I'm sure car accidents are going down. I would imagine domestic assaults will be going up soon if we don't get out of this. But it was really fascinating to think that it was just about 6, maybe 8 weeks ago that I was watching the lockdowns in China. And I kept making this point because it was amazing to me, and it really wasn't being talked much about on the media when they had locked down 500 million people in China. And I said, can you even imagine? This is like two of the United States. Eventually, they got to 700 million people. And I said, that's two United States. Well, now we're kind of seeing what that actually feels like just a few short weeks later. And I think we're still kind of in the shock stage right now, to be honest with you. I would imagine that's kind of where I am. It's just so up in the air. Everybody's kind of searching for the daily news to get you through to the next day, try to figure out what's going on. But we don't really imagine, I don't think we fully processed the fact that the United States is in big, big trouble here, particularly economically. But the cracks are starting to show. You know, Ronald Reagan made a speech one time where he said he imagined a time where an alien life force comes at the United, you know, comes at planet Earth and it unites everybody. And we've seen some stories of that with the coronavirus. People singing on the balconies, and you know, there's a lot of acts of kindness during times like these. But the cracks are starting to show. One of the funniest stories I saw was, you know, in Italy, they took to the balconies and were singing. Everybody was opening their doors and their patios, and they were going out and singing songs. And apparently somebody tried that in New York. And if the headline's to be believed, what it said was somebody in New York tried to replicate this, and they immediately got shouted down with a, shut the F up. Welcome to New York City. What a kind and gentle place. You know, and again, this is one of your, it's not lost on me, the irony. This is one of your Democrat-run cities where they scream at each other and are incredibly rude. But we've been separated by political parties for so long. We're now starting to be separated by the states when you watch some of the reaction to this. I mean, this one really, this is the kind of thing that scares me. Rhode Island police began stopping cars with New York plates on Friday. On Saturday, the National Guard will help them conduct house-to-house searches. House-to-house searches to find people who traveled from New York and demand 14 days of self-quarantine. National Guard members will be stationed at the TF Green Airport, Amtrak train stations, and bus stops. The citizen soldiers will be following up with people at local residences. The maximum penalty for not complying, that term gets so under my skin. Everything's a compliance issue. How tall is the grass in your front yard? Out of compliance, $500 a day. A maximum penalty for not complying, a fine of $500 and 90 days in prison. This is like the Anne Frank type thing. The Jews were running from the Holocaust, and somebody put Anne Frank up in the attic. New Yorkers are running to Rhode Island and being put underneath the floors of a house, risking arrest for 90 days and a fine of $500 as they try to harbor their New York friends who could be diseased. Yeah, I went to the Anne Frank house when I was a child, crawled around up in there. I got to go to Europe at a time before everything was so serious. I remember I went to Stonehenge in England. And I could crawl around on the rocks. You could walk through there. It's all cordoned off now. You can't get near it. They said the oils from people's hands were starting to wear on the rocks. I got to crawl around in it. I crawled around up in the Anne Frank house. But anyway, so neighbors are starting to report on neighbors. This is the new See Something, Say Something campaign that they're doing. Neighbors are narking on other neighbors for getting together for bridge club or whatever. And I wondered about this last week at some point, last 2 weeks, I don't know, time's flying by, was how much data is the government collecting on us right now to put into their computer models of how Americans react in a crisis? I just can't imagine, because now not only do we carry phones around with us, but most of our lives now are being led online. Hell, they're seeing our streaming habits, our social media habits, what we're doing on Facebook, Twitter. I mean, they are going to have an absolute model of how Americans respond to a crisis. And with each one of these draconian lockdowns or shelter-in-place orders, they'll be able to see who the violators are, how many of them are there. Well, if there's a particular demographic group that they can't count on to follow the rules when they come out, I mean, just the amount of data that's being collected on people has got to be staggering. Wall Street Journal has an article, Government Tracking How People Move Around in Coronavirus Pandemic. Goal is to get location data in up to 500 U.S. cities to help plan response. Privacy concerns call for strong legal safeguards, activists said. That ship has sailed, unfortunately. Government officials, this is the Wall Street Journal, says government officials across the U.S. are using location data from millions of cell phones in a bid to better understand the movements of Americans during the coronavirus pandemic and how they may be affecting the spread of the disease. And so this is going to be one of those things where they say, well, much like after 9/11, well, we have to track and trace you. We have to read your emails. We have to see your text messages. This is in the name of public safety, of public health. And this is where conservatives really let down their guard, because on top, you know, kind of feels like, yeah, this is maybe one of those times where we should be under greater scrutiny by our governments. The problem is that they never give up these powers in the end. I'm going to move on to the bailout bill. I refuse to call it the S word, the stimulus bill. This is a bailout bill. It's the first of many to come. It's actually the third of many to come. So they passed this thing. Donald Trump signed it. I've got some clips from the signing ceremony. And then I'm going to break down to you exactly what's going on with the bailouts, because I will not sit idly by and watch Americans fall prey to the shiny object syndrome. And the shiny object in this case is the $1,200 check you're counting on. The $1,200 check you're looking for. The help for the, air quotes here in the studio, the people. Help for the, air quotes here in the studio, small businesses. Now, I'm going to tell you what percentage of what they've announced over the last 10 days is going to the people and the small businesses. It does not impress me. I'll be right back. Stay with me.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
Back. This is the Mike Madison Show. I don't carry any water. If you know this show at all, I don't carry any water for any political party. I'm pretty sick of all of them. And what we're doing right now, people get so caught up in the news of the day and what's happening on a daily basis. Over the last 11 years, we have been completely remaking the financial system of the United States. And I don't know if you noticed it, but most conservatives probably noticed it under Barack Obama. It wasn't working for the average person. Even a lot of liberals started noticing that towards the end when they saw the wealth inequality gap just balloon during Obama's presidency, exposing, or it should have exposed to the left, this idea that Barack Obama was a man of the people who cared about the poor and the downtrodden. Many of them didn't notice, but this stimulus bill and what's going on right now is just further remaking of the U.S. financial system, and it is not to your benefit. Now, you're thinking, you know, the headlines are, on the conservative side of things, well, at least this time, they're getting money directly to the people. Last time we bailed out the banks, people weren't very happy. I'm going to tell you exactly what went on behind closed doors as the Mike Madison interpretation of what I see as I tell you the percentage of money that's going actually to the people and the small businesses out there. Trump signed the stimulus bill on Friday, flanked by, flouting all social distancing to all crowd their faces into the camera shot behind Trump's desk in the Oval Office where he signed this thing. What's up with that, politicians? You tell all Americans to keep our distance from everybody? In some cases, you've got the police out there enforcing it, giving us fines or detaining people who are not keeping their distance. Yet every camera shot I see of Donald Trump, there's people squeezed in behind him. But of course, that doesn't matter to them. It's kind of like if you got a small business and you want to put up a little sign along the road advertising your wares. No. That's taken down and you face a fine. But when political season comes, the landscape is littered with trashy signs everywhere because they're different than us. And I guess the virus is the same thing, too. Anyway, much of Republicans crowded behind Donald Trump as he signed the stimulus bill on Friday.
I just want to thank the people behind me. They've been incredible friends. They've been warriors. There's nobody tougher or smarter than the people standing alongside of me.
Oh, please.
And I think I want to start off by asking Mitch and then Kevin to speak, and then we're going to go through a few of the folks in the room if they'd like to say something. But Mitch, I'd love you to say a few words because this man worked 24 hours a day for a long time. This is the result. It's the biggest ever approved in Congress, $6.2 trillion. So, you know, we used to get used to the billion. It used to be million, then it was billion, now it's trillion. And it's going to go a long way. It's going to make a lot of people very happy. Mitch McConnell, please.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Now, I got to tell you, just to start right there, he's right. We used to talk about millions. And then we kind of tinkered around with billions. Now it's trillions. Now, he kept mentioning in this the $6.2 trillion. And he's actually right. Now, the bill he's signing is $2.2 trillion. The other $4 trillion is coming from Federal Reserve programs. I actually have a list of the Federal Reserve programs. Most Americans won't know that. Listeners to the Mike Madison Show, you're not going to be able to memorize them. There's a ton of them, and they're an alphabet soup of all these different lending facilities. And this is where the con job is. See, this is where all of these things you're going to see. This is Kevin McCarthy. These are all Republicans behind Trump in this signing ceremony. It's Kevin McCarthy, Mitch McConnell, Larry Kudlow, Steven Mnuchin, the former Goldman Sachs banker who is currently our Treasury Secretary, Kevin Brady. Again, all squeezed into the shot. No social distancing when it comes to a camera. When it comes to a photo op, squeeze in. Let's try to get as many people as we possibly can. Anyway, the idea that this is odd to me to watch the Republican Party take a victory lap on the largest bill ever signed. Isn't this, or used to be, or supposed to be, the party of fiscal responsibility that it's not good to sign the largest spending bill in the history of the world?
President, let me just say this is a proud moment for our country, for the president, the Republicans, and the Democrats all pulled together and passed the biggest bill in history and record.
It is a proud moment that the Republicans and the Democrats pulled together to put together the largest spending bill in the history of the United States. That is your Republican leadership talking about this.
Record time.
And they did it in record time. Isn't that fantastic? I got to tell you, if I was able to steal money from 328 million people and bundle it up, I could spend it pretty quickly. Not really that difficult.
I also want to thank Kevin McCarthy and our leaders on the Republican side in the House who helped speed this through to passage. The American people needed this rescue package. They needed it quickly, and we delivered. It's a proud moment for all of us. Mr. President, thanks for the opportunity to be here.
I'd love to shake your hand, but Anthony would get angry at me if I did that. So I better not do it. I can't. It's so natural. I just want to go back and shake his hand. They have done such an incredible job. Kevin, please.
Yeah, I do want to start. I want to thank all. The real answer to America is we're listening to you. You do your part, and we're going to do ours. And that's exactly what's happening today. What Leader McConnell did was amazing. He made it bipartisan, bicameral. Everybody was involved. I wish we could have signed this earlier this week. Maybe there wouldn't be as many people who are out of work, but this will put people back to work. I also want to thank Secretary Mnuchin. You've done an amazing job, and we thank you for that, and all the team that's here. Look, as I said in my speech, the virus is here. We didn't ask for it. We didn't invite it. We didn't choose it, but we are going to defeat it together. Because we're going to work together, and this is the first start of it. The hospitals will get money. the money they need. The small businesses will be able to hire their employees back. That is a grant. You don't have to borrow from that place. The other businesses get a retention to keep your employees on. This has something for everything. And to the task force and the vice president, all the work that you're doing with this president, this will be the needed resources you need as well. And so thank you for that, and thank you for your leadership, Mr.
Very special. Mike Pence, Mike.
Okay, so they go down the line, and all of the Republicans pat themselves on the back for the largest spending bill in the history of the world. And now, I understand there's probably people listening to me right now who say, well, they needed to do something. You don't understand, Mike. This is different. Well, I beg to differ, but when you hear my breakdown in just a little bit of exactly, because the idea of the average voter out there right now is they got together, they got this done, they did something, it's Trump's thing, so it's great, it's the Republicans, so they took care of the people. I'm going to break down the numbers for you and let you see the percentages of this money, of this $2 trillion, of this $6.2 trillion that is getting to the people. Because I'm not going to stand by and allow this to be some kind of a populist bill where the, because I, as I say, if you get a check, cash that check. That is your money. Government produces nothing. They had to steal a bunch of money from everyone, and now they're handing some of it back. Take your money and run. If they send you three checks by accident, take them. Because the taxes that are going to come down the pike in subsequent years to pay for this monstrosity are amazing. And again, stay with me. Stay with me. I'm going to show you where this bailout money is going. You're getting $1,200. Small businesses are getting something. It is going to be the small business bailout that is in this is going to be the most abused spending package in the history of the United States. And I won't blame a single small business owner for abusing this thing. Because, again, small businesses have had their pockets picked by this same government for forever. I have no problems with everybody going on an absolute cash grab to get what they can. The government has been stripping us of our wealth at the rate of about 30% of every dollar we earn since most of us have been alive. If you've got a chance to claw some of it back, then go for it. But it is not a response to coronavirus. This is a banker bailout wrapped up in the shiny object of helping the people. And I'm going to prove that to you in just a few minutes. Stay with me.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Welcome back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I'm breaking down a lot of the financial side of this thing with the bailout. Number one, because I'm incensed that conservatives are not clued into this, that you're being fooled along with everybody else. Liberals will be quicker to catch on to what I'm about to talk about because they're more ready for it, because they already hate Trump and they're looking for anything wrong with anything the Republicans have done. But the Democrats got their meaty little hooks into this bailout bill, too. But one of the reasons I'm kind of focusing on the financial side, number one, is because it's not being covered on conservative media, because the Republicans are the ones taking a victory lap on this thing. And number two, because I got to be honest with you, with the virus itself, I may spend some time on this tomorrow and take some calls. I can't wrap my head around whether we're doing the right thing or the wrong thing. There's a lot of people out there saying this whole thing is just one big hoax. Yet I see Donald Trump taking action on it. I see Tate Reeves. I don't know anybody knows Tate Reeves real well. He's not exactly a left-wing liberal. So I find the explanation of why everybody's taking this thing so serious at the governmental level if this is just a hoax. Now, people will say, well, the media is playing this thing up, but why is that directing Donald Trump and Tate Reeves' actions and other Republican governors and other countries around the world? Anyway, it is a bit of a mystery. We'll probably talk about that tomorrow, but I want to break down this financial stuff. Now, luckily, when it came to the stimulus bill, they were able to sufficiently shame Thomas Massie. I was Donald Trump's worst tweet since he took the presidency was his attack on Thomas Massie, calling him a third-rate grandstander. But the swamp was able to thwart Thomas Massie's attempt to stop the bankruptcy liquidation of the United States. He was ridiculed for his attempt to keep some level of the Constitution alive during a crisis by Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, Mitch McConnell, Kevin McCarthy, and Donald Trump. Hand in hand, he was routinely taken to the woodshed. So congratulations to all the powers that be, Thomas Massie. There was actually a story on Breitbart. Breitbart, the fine journalistic institution that it is. Breitbart had an article on there called Thomas Massie versus the United States of America, or something like that. America versus Thomas Massie. And this guy named Virgil wrote this piece on this so-called conservative website where he just took after Thomas Massie. The good thing was, the most interesting thing was, the comments did not agree with Virgil, and most people saw that Thomas Massie is like the only principled person left in Washington, D.C. at this point. And he didn't delay the vote by any significant amount of time. What is this? This is an hour by hour. We've got to get $2.2 trillion out, or we don't have an extra 2 hours to get it done. Now, they were trying to shove this bill through, and Thomas Massie was the only one that was trying to at least hold it up and make it a constitutional vote. And Donald Trump wants him run out of the Republican Party for that. And that really ticked me off. I got to tell you, I've got my issues with Trump, and I've got my ways that I think Trump is doing good things. That is the worst tweet he sent out, because he could have done it a different way. He could have said, I really appreciate Thomas Massie fighting for the constitutional processes that are part of Congress. I appreciate his desire to keep spending in check, but this is a really serious time, and we don't have any time to waste. We've got to get money to the American people. He could have tweeted that, but he didn't. He called him a third-rate grandstander and ask that the Republicans take back the House except for Thomas Massie. They want Thomas Massie. Donald Trump wants Thomas Massie run out of the Republican Party. That's where your Republican Party is now. Congratulations. One person stands up against massive spending done in an unconstitutional vote, and he's the bad guy. I did want to play this one clip. I would really like to play the whole thing. Thomas Massie did and he's the congressman from Kentucky. He's a libertarian-leaning Republican, but he's libertarian-leaning in the way that I am. Like, I don't think massive spending at the government level is a good thing. He did a whole interview on Fox, had him on. He did some interviews, but he makes one point here that I just thought was absolutely fantastic, because the members of Congress were incensed that he dare ask them to come back to Washington, D.C. and put their lives at risk.
Yeah.
Okay, but you know, these are unique circumstances, and there were people who thought it was dangerous to bring everybody back in, and one of them was one of your Republican colleagues. Peter King said this in a tweet. House passes pandemic emergency bill, victory for America. Large number of Congress members had to be in the House chamber and risk infection to themselves and others because of one arrogant member. If anyone gets infected, blood is on Rep. Thomas Massie's hands. How do you respond?
That's a pretty strong statement. I mean, here, think about the arrogance of these congressmen. They're telling the truckers to keep driving so that their grocery stores will have groceries. They're telling the UPS drivers to keep bringing their Amazon packages. They're telling the bagger at the grocery store to keep bagging those groceries. But these congressmen make $174,000 a year. They've got the best health care that you can buy these days right now. And they're telling people that they should, that the congressmen need to stay home, but everybody else needs to work for them. I think that's the wrong message, but that really gives you a glimpse into how some of these people in Washington, D.C. think.
Exactly. What a tremendous point that is. Yeah, it's good enough for the rest of us. It's okay for us to be out there. Doctors, nurses, EMTs, truck drivers, grocery store baggers. Y'all get out there and work. Get a mask or whatever. But these dilettantes, how dare they be asked to show up into a very expansive chamber and mill about and actually cast a vote for the Constitution? Just absolutely disgusting. But anyway, the swamp was able to steamroll over Thomas Massie, and you got your $2.2 trillion spending bill. Now, when I come back, I'm going to get into what I think happened. And I've got to give some credit here to the swamp. The bailout bill is a genius marketing success for them. I always try to acknowledge when they at least don't phone it in. You know, with a lot of the wars now, they're using the same stories. Assad gassed his own people. You know, all of these things. They don't even really try anymore. With this stimulus bill, they had to come up with a way that the American people would accept the largest spending bill in the history of the world, particularly Trump's base, and they did it. And it's pretty genius, but I'm not going to let them get away with it here on the show. I'll break down exactly what this percentage is that's going to the people and the small businesses that they love so much.
All night with the king.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, in this final segment of this hour, I'm going to touch on something in this bailout bill that I don't know if people are considering or not. It's as obvious as the sun in the sky to me as somebody who's owned a small business before, but I've talked to some small business owners over the past several days about this bailout bill. They're very encouraged. Now, they are smart enough people. I do have some pretty intelligent friends to understand that this has not anything that's good for the country. And they feel like, you know, might as well take advantage while you can, because the crippling effects of us tax-wise, I mean, the government's going to have to claw this money back at some point. So there's this provision in the bailout bill that is the... it's to keep people employed during this thing. Let me just explain to you the abuse that's going to go on in this thing. And I call it abuse, although if you're a small business owner, I applaud you for taking every nickel of advantage of this that you can. Because this is the thing. People may say, well, you're being hypocritical. You're talking about the size of this bill and all this government spending, but you're encouraging people to take advantage of it if they don't really need to. Well, here's the thing. I understand that if you were constantly robbed by money and you get a chance to claw some of that money back that's been stolen from you, you do that. Because it's your money. See, the other presupposes that this is government money. The government owns all these, has all this money, and they're giving it out. And that's unfair to take advantage of that. The government has nothing. They produce nothing. They steal it out of the productive part of our society and then do with it what they will. And I believe it is inherently wrong. And small business owners can really take it on the chin. Number one, every time a small business owner creates a job, the government penalizes them with a payroll tax on it, right? I mean, the abuses to the small Main Street businesses is just obscene. And I'm going to explain to you next hour. God, I hope you can stay with me or listen to the podcast later to understand what the real scam of this bailout situation is. I'll show you who's really benefiting. But here's how small businesses can approach this. There's a lot of small businesses out there across the country that are not necessarily affected by coronavirus as of this point. It's not helping many industries at all. There are a select few. If you're manufacturing masks or ventilators or you're running a grocery store, things have been going swimmingly for you for a while. But so most small business owners are certainly not being helped by this. But if you have a business and this is suddenly put in front of you, if you will maintain your employees throughout this crisis for the next, I believe it's like 2.5 months, 4 months, whatever it is, then the government will cover that payroll for you. Now, this is something that is maybe really needed with some businesses who are having to lay people off because they have been dramatically affected by the coronavirus. Essentially what it is the government is saying, we're going to send you out some money to cover your payroll for a few months. As long as you maintain your employees, then this money turns into a grant. It's not a loan, and you just get to keep this money, and this will keep people employed. Okay, so far, so good, right? Now, I don't believe that this is the government's responsibility. I'm a libertarian. I know this is a disaster anyway, but let me tell you how this will be abused. There are going to be millions of businesses out there that were never really facing layoffs. Or if they had any layoffs, they were going to be maybe just at the perimeter, you know, just ancillarily with the slowdown in the United States and the shutdown. Maybe business activity wasn't as good as it was, so profits weren't going to be as high as they were, but they weren't in risk of shutting the doors or having to lay off their entire staff. As I understand it, what they will be able to do is go to their local bank, who will participate in this program, and they will be able to get a loan for essentially what their payroll is for the next several months. And they will take this money, and they will pay their employees, and they will not lay them off, even though they weren't going to lay them off in the first place. This will take, for the business owner, and I'm a big fan of business owners. Again, I encourage them to do this because the government has been fleecing small business owners. You know, there's capitalism down here in the trenches for us, right? The 2008-2009 bailouts were not designed for Main Street. They bailed out Wall Street. Every year, business owners have more regulations and more costs and more taxes. And so now they're presented with this opportunity where the government essentially is going to give them the money to cover their next 3 months of payroll. What will happen is the businesses will take advantage of this, and the business owners will use that money for the next 3 months of payroll, and they will essentially be able to take the expense of payroll off of their books, and it will go straight to the top line, to the business owners themselves. What will happen to the workers in those cases? Absolutely nothing. Nothing. They're going to maintain the same job they had at the same salary level that they had before, but the business owners are going to get to save several months of payroll. And in a lot of businesses, that's a lot of money. I don't know if this thing is capped at some levels, $1 million, maybe something like that. And so that solves absolutely no problems, right? You got businesses that weren't going to lay anybody off, maybe a couple of people here or there for just some reduced business activity or... But these people were going to keep their jobs anyway, but now the government is going to pay people who were going to keep their jobs anyway. They're going to pay the business owners to keep the employees that they weren't going to fire anyway, and the business owners are going to laugh their way out of the bank. And that's fantastic. The problem is that, you know, theoretically this money is coming from our children and our grandchildren. And I'm never going to stop making this point as long as we're in this crisis and everybody is gnashing their teeth about all of the Americans that are slipping through the cracks and nobody has any savings. And today, you know, it's a couple of days, 2 days from now, it's April 1st, it's rent day. Nobody has the rent. What are you going to do? They're asking Steve Mnuchin, what are you going to do tomorrow? You know, April 1st is rent day. What do you tell Americans? You don't have their checks out to them yet. And I just want to keep driving home the point. The reason Americans are so vulnerable to these things, the reason people don't have a cushion of savings, is largely because of taxation. Certainly some behavioral issues, poor priorities, not saving money, getting every new gadget, lining up for the newest $1,000 iPhone or whatever. They're certainly, but you know, they've been doing their part, right? Because our elected leaders and our financial experts have referred to all of us as consumers. Consumers drives 70% of this economy now. Consumerism and debt is what has led to this artificial prosperity we've had for several decades. So if you want to point to the people and go, well, they should have saved some money, but they're out there spending. Well, I mean, what do you want? You want a good economy or you want everybody to start saving? The irony of this coronavirus thing is people may start saving again. Now, if they start saving again, that's not good for an economy that's based on consumerism and debt. So be prepared for some level of a slowdown. You know, it's pretty well known that people who survive through the Depression, live through the Depression, though there are very few that are left with us now, they were much more frugal people, right? Because they saw hard times. Well, we may suddenly see generations of people now who live through some hard times and say, oh, you know, it wasn't great to live paycheck to paycheck and get every shiny object that was put in front of us, because we're encouraged. We're encouraged to just be consumers in this country. What did George W. Bush say after 9/11? Get out and shop. Get to the malls and buy some stuff. That was our advice. Now, during World War II, and this is such a stark difference, and people need to understand this. World War II was a crisis and a financial issue too, right? Suddenly we were thrust into this huge war. It was very expensive. And the government didn't have the money to prosecute that war. The American people actually bailed out the government in World War II. They sacrificed. And they used their savings, because they were savers, largely probably because of the Great Depression just a decade earlier. They had been saving money, and so they bought war bonds. The American people bailed the government out in World War II. This is how far we have fallen. Now the government is attempting to bail out the American citizen, because the American citizens don't have the savings they had back in World War II. Because, again, for decades, we've been convinced to be consumers, to get credit lines and home equity loans and 8-year car loans, and to pay massive taxes and regulations and all of the other things that come with a monster-sized government that have stripped us with our ability to save anything in the first place. And I don't know why that argument is not resonating. I don't know why I can't find that argument anywhere else. This should be the teachable moment of this, is the reason Americans are so vulnerable and that the Republicans are tripping over themselves to send everybody a $1,200 check is because of the policies that they, along with, of course, the Democrats are especially bad at it, have had this country operating under for 50, 60 years now. The consumerism model. The idea that everybody is living hand to mouth after 10 years of essentially zero interest rate. So anybody who did try to save any money didn't earn any money on their money, right? Wouldn't that have been nice to have a 5% return over the last 10 years rather than a 0.5% return on your savings over the last 10 years? That would have made a big difference from people who actually saved money. But they're even more vulnerable now, even though they tried to save, because, again, because of Federal Reserve and federal government policy, which is low interest rates, which has crushed savers. I mean, does anybody see this? Does anybody understand that the interest of the federal government, Federal Reserve, the banks, is at complete odds with what's best for the American people? Well, we're going to see the consequences of it. And I'm going to break down these bailout numbers on the other side. Stay with me.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WIAB. Thanks for joining me today. You're about to get a glimpse inside the cynical and jaded mind of Mike Madison, yet I believe it is entirely accurate. I watched this bailout bill with quite a bit of disappointment. disappointment in the right, actually, because the right is supposed to be where fiscal sanity is, and with two children that are going to inherit a bankrupt nation, you were the only people standing between that bankrupt nation and my children. Yet most of you have sidestepped it, and I've watched the narrative be, and I understand this. Look, everybody was mad about the banker bailouts in 2008. There's a whole Tea Party movement rose up against it. Where's the Tea Party in the Where Are They Now file? So the idea is that the, at least this time, this is what has gotten the Republicans and conservatives in this country into line with the bailout package. Trump's bragging, and the Republicans are bragging about this being the largest bill ever passed. Now, the only way that American people on the right would put up with that is if they thought that because it was going, first of all, it has to be an emergency, right? Something. They have to do something. That's what most Americans think. They got to do something. Help us. That's how pathetic and dependent we've become on the federal government. But the idea is that this money is going to the people and the small business owners. You know, Main Street, finally. But Mike, you don't understand. This is a Main Street bill. Don't you want to help the poor unemployed people, the poor business owner? Yes, my sympathies lie with the people in the Main Street. That is where populism should reside. But I'm going to show you, I'm going to prove to you that that's not what the current bailout is all about. And when I get done with this, you're going to see the percentage of the total of bailout activity that's taking place right now that is going to make it to Main Street. And I'll let you determine whether or not you are then impressed with what's going on. Now, I'll tell you what I think happened here. And as I said before, it's pretty genius. I'll give them some points for at least putting some effort into this one. I think that the people in charge of stuff, our financial elites, our governmental elites, saw an economic crash coming some time ago. While the headline has been greatest economy in the history of the world, manufacturing activity in the United States actually has been declining for 8 months. Actually, now I think 9 months. This is before coronavirus. Manufacturing activity, the gauge that measures that, had been declining for 8 months. You saw this spate of CEOs that were quitting before coronavirus in the past year, really accelerated, I think, in January. A lot of CEOs were quitting. Hedge funds had been at risk and were running into problems. They were getting bailed out as early as last September. When you hear talk about the repo market, I've talked about it extensively on this show, the repo market was bailing out hedge funds and other people in the financial world, other masters of the universe. So there were already signs of great stress to the financial system last year. And there have been off and on for the last 11 years. That's why the Federal Reserve has done QE1, which they said was just temporary and just a one-off, that turned into QE2, QE3, and then QE4, and then the repo where they were shoving hundreds of billions of dollars every night into the financial system. So they knew something was coming. And then they saw the coronavirus coming. And they saw what happened in China, and they knew that it was going to spell trouble for us. Now, see, even back in September and last year, as manufacturing was slowing down, and I'm not bashing Trump for this, understand, I don't want any snowflake to get mad at me. This is the nature of a bubble and of excesses. Eventually, the debt gets so big that companies and individuals can't service it, and your economy slows down and goes into a recession. This is a natural business cycle. And the repo market was proving that there were some pretty significant things. So they knew that this was coming, and they knew that that was going to mean they were going to have to bail out heavily indebted companies and factions of the financial markets. This is, again, the repo. The repo market that was bailing out hedge funds and other financial institutions since September. And let me just stress this again. I know I'm repeating myself, but there's always new people listening. In September, they started putting money into the overnight funding markets. And they said it was just going to be for a day, maybe 2 days. And that 2 days turned into 2 weeks. And that 2 weeks into 6 weeks. And that 6 weeks into 3 months. And now it is ongoing every single night since September, I think, 14th. They never could stop it. That is a sign of something bad happening in the gears of the financial system. So they started thinking about the fact that they were going to have to bail this out, and they saw the coronavirus, and they knew they were going to have to bail out these financial institutions, hedge funds, banks, everybody. But they also knew, ooh, this is not going to be good. The people were really upset and continued to stay upset about banker bailouts in 2008. People lost their homes. The Tea Party and Occupy Wall Street started very, very public protests. So they knew, they've been sitting around scratching their heads, what do we do? Now, the repo was kind of a stealth thing. Most of us don't understand the repo markets, and nobody's paying attention to it. We were all paying attention to the presidential race or the Ukrainian phone call or the Russia collusion. So they already started the bailouts, but they could hide that one. But they knew what was coming was going to be pretty catastrophic for businesses, coronavirus or not. But they said with the coronavirus, they thought, oh my gosh, now we see the economy is really going to slow down. We're going to have to do some bailing out. But they knew another just direct to the bank, people losing their homes, all that stuff was not going to be popular. So in all of their genius, somebody made the decision. They said, let's do this. Let's wrap it in bailouts for the people and small businesses. This is how we will market this. And they knew they were going to have to spend some money to do that, and they have. There are hundreds of billions of dollars for individuals and small businesses, but in the totality of everything they're doing, I'm going to give you the statistics in just a second. They have just made it look like it's for the workers. And that way, particularly Republicans, will sit down and shut up while they bail out the banks, the hedge funds, and the mega corporations. So let's start looking at some of the numbers here. The final stimulus bill, Oops, the final bailout bill. I'm not using that word stimulus. This is a bailout bill. It creates $349 billion. As a loan program for small businesses, this is what I'm explaining to you is going to be. There are several things in here that are going to be massively abused. That is one of them. And the other is unemployment benefits. It creates $349 billion in loan programs for small businesses, $301 billion for household payments. That's your check, your $1,200 check, $500 per child check. And $250 billion in unemployment benefits, and this is going to be shoring up unemployment in states and also adding the $600 kicker on there, which, as we talked about last week, is going to actually encourage people to not work for the next 4 months. It's a complete self-check. Lindsey Graham got that right, of all people. So there's actually $900 billion in those programs. That is Main Street programs. $349 billion to small businesses, $301 billion in your little check, and $250 billion to unemployment benefits. So that is $900 billion out of $6.2 trillion. Now, Mike, it's just a $2.2 trillion plan. What are you talking about? That's almost half. See, you're leaving out the $4 trillion in the last 10 days, or now about 14 days, last 2 weeks, that the Federal Reserve has announced in its facilities. And I'm going to name them for you in just a second. And it's going to be boring and it's going to be tedious and you're not going to remember any of it. But it is impressive in its size and all of the alphabet soup of all the different lending facilities they have opened up. For small business? No. For you? No. For big businesses and the banks? Yes. That $6.2 trillion has been introduced in the last 2 weeks for, air quotes here in the studio, emergency measures. And as I say, $900 billion of the $6.2 trillion is going to the people, or 14.5%, but it actually gets worse than that, as I'll show you in just a second. This does not include the figure in this money that is going to the people, and when I talk about that, the money to the small businesses, $349 billion, how much of that will go backdoor to the banks as small business owners use it to keep making debt payments to the banks? Of the $301 billion of household payments, you know, your check, the check everybody's got their hands out for, conservatives, and this is when we can all come together because Republicans and Democrats are all loving the fact they're going to get this check. How much of that $301 billion in individual payments, these checks, is going to go to service? What? Anyone? Anyone? Mortgage payments to the banks. Car payments to the banks. Credit card payments to the banks. And the $250 billion in unemployment benefits, again, this is what's going to the air quotes here in the studio, people. How much of those unemployment benefits will be used to pay mortgages to the banks, car payments to the banks, credit card payments to the banks? Even people paying rent are paying rent to a landlord who has financed their properties through the banks. So how much of that $900 billion will be flowing through? Again, the $900 billion of the total $6.2 trillion bailouts, how much of that $900 billion that supposedly is going to actual people, which is 14.5%, how much of that is going to end up in the banks? I would say what? Anyone? Anyone? Half? Probably at least half, right? Because your biggest expenses that you have are your mortgage or your rent and your car payments and credit card bills. Some of it will go to food. Some of it, people might buy T-shirts. Some people might buy video games. But a lot of that money, and I would certainly say half is probably conservative, of that money will actually be backdoor bailouts to the banks. The government is giving you money so that you make sure you don't default on your debt to the banks. That takes the American people's share of this down to closer to around 6 to 7%. Now, this is not also including the hundreds of billions of dollars that the Fed has been injecting into the repo markets for the last 7 months, as I said. The $6.2 trillion I'm talking about does not include the hundreds of billions of dollars that have been injected into the financial markets by the Fed over the past 7 months. That's really on top of that. So you start at $6.2 trillion. I don't know what the total cost of the last 6 months of that is, but it certainly is in the $7 to $8 trillion figure by now. And you don't also include the cost to American savers over the last 11 years as they have been paying you nothing. As the Federal Reserve has kept interest rates so low that you've got nothing on your savings, and that money has been directly to the benefit of the people who borrow at the top level that get debt at almost 0% interest rates. See, what they save in interest is what you sacrificed in return. It's a direct transfer of wealth from the American saver to the biggest debtors. And when I come back, I'm going to get into this laundry list of Federal Reserve things, because you're not going to hear this anywhere else. What you're going to hear is at least this on conservative media. From your politicians, you're going to say this is direct help to the American people because we love them. No, what this was this is essentially a big giant gift of corporate and banking bailouts, but they put a giant bow on it. Just the big bow that everybody will look at on the package, the big pretty bow is what goes to the people to distract you from the enormity of this package for the financial elites. And I actually think this list of Federal Reserve, what they've announced in the past 10 days, and again, I'm leaving out all the things that have happened over the last several months in the repo market and over the last 10 years in QE1, QE2, QE3, QE4, Operation Twist, that have also benefited these big moneyed interest. When I come back, you can get a piece of pen and paper. Maybe we should do a quiz on this. You're going to love the alphabet soup of lending facilities for the biggest corporations and the bankers that have come out just in the last 10 days. Stay with me.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I'm exposing the bailout package today. So far, if you heard my math from the last segment, if you didn't, go get the podcast. Everybody in the world needs to understand this, because I am watching the conservatives and Republicans be led into the biggest spending bill the history of the United States, thinking that this was all for the people. They had to do something, and at least this time they're bailing out the people. I have got that percentage of the totality of bailouts that have been announced over the past 10 to 14 days. I've got what the people are getting, Main Street getting, down to around 6 to 7% of the entirety of it. And I'm doing the math for you right now. Here's what the Federal Reserve has announced just over the past couple of weeks. Now, first of all, there's the unlimited repos. They've announced basically unlimited, up to $1 trillion a day they will put into the repo markets. Now, I'm not going to get into the depth of that. When they put, you know, $100 billion into the repo market at night, they get paid that back. There's some programs that are overnight. They get the money right back. There's some programs that are 2 weeks. I think they've got some that are either 2 or 3 months now. So all kinds of different. But those are very, very short-term loans from the Federal Reserve. The thing is to remember, though, they didn't have to do them before September of last year. They were not doing this. They had to start for some reason they don't want to tell us about. I believe they saw a financial crisis coming, and they started acting back then. And now they are disguising. They are disguising the ongoing financial crisis that was coming anyway, and they're wrapping it up in this idea that the people are getting the money. But if you pay attention to the totality of all the numbers that they're actually announcing, the people are getting about 6 to 7% of the money. So the Federal Reserve has announced this. Expanded MMLF, as I say, this is going to be an alphabet soup of different lending facilities. MMLF expanded to municipal debt money market funds. Now, what this is they're trying to prop up the municipal bond market. And who owns the most municipal bonds? Joe and Kathy Johnson down the street? No. Banks and pension funds. Enhanced standing U.S. dollar liquidity swap arrangements with major central banks. That's other central banks around the world. New swap agreements with lesser central banks around the world. This is what the Federal Reserve is doing with what they've announced is either $4 or $4.5 trillion. Establish the MMLF to bail out money market mutual funds. Establish the PDCF to lend to primary dealers under this primary dealer credit facility. They've got QE Unlimited, where they're just going out and buying bonds. They've got QECMBS. Those are collateralized mortgage-backed securities. This is to bail out banks who are holding bad debt on their balance sheets the same way they were back in 2008 when they got bailed out. Is anybody talking about that? Crickets. No, just me. Because you are being tricked with the shiny object of this entire thing being marketed as help to small businesses and help to individuals. Will some people and small businesses be helped? Yes. But behind the scenes of that help, I think somebody figured out that if this was truly about helping the people in Main Street, they'd be able to send everybody a $17,000 check, not $1,200. And I'm going to show you some of the beneficiaries. There's already stories coming out that show you how the financial system is already benefiting from this, the bankers, the big mega corporations. But I'm not done with the Federal Reserve programs. They got money market mutual fund liquidity facility. This is the MMLF to municipal demand notes and CDs. They got TALF, T-A-L-F, term asset-backed securities lending facility. They got the SMCCF to buy corporate bonds and U.S. listed bond ETFs under the secondary market corporate credit facility. They got the PMCCF to lend to large companies via the primary market corporate credit facility. They've expanded the CPFF to municipal paper. Last week, the Fed announced the Commercial Paper Funding Facility. And again, this is on top of other programs that they've been doing up to. These are just the ones they've announced really in the last 10 days. Now you're getting a $1,200 check. And there are trillions flowing through this alphabet soup of programs that the Federal Reserve has rolled out. And of course, part of the $2.2 trillion bill, as I said, $900 billion of it's going to the people. The other $1.3 trillion is going to the large corporations and to cities and states and stuff like that. See, the coronavirus has given them the perfect scapegoat for a deep, dark recession. And this recession is not caused by the disease, but by the last 11 years of massive debt buildup at the expense of American savers. And the thing is, they're going to get away with this. They are going to get away with giving what I estimate. I don't want to be wrong on this, so I'll be conservative. They're giving 10% of all of the bailouts that have been announced over the last 10 years, 10% are going to the people. 90% of the bailout funds are going to the biggest corporations and the banking system. And the Fed has said out loud that they stand ready to do anything to keep pumping money into that system. They're not done. All because they threw 10% to the American people and to mainstream businesses in the form of $1,200 check to you and some loans to small businesses. Now, some of those turns into grants, and they will help some small businesses, and people definitely need the $1,200. But I'll be damned if I'm going to sit in this chair and allow conservatives and Republicans to be hoodwinked by the idea, well, at least this time, Mike, they're bailing out the people. It is a rounding error in what they have announced. 6 to 7, even if it is possibly 10% of the money actually goes to the benefit of Jane and Joe Sixpack out there, it's a rounding error at 10% in a $6.2 trillion program. A rounding error. And they threw it on top just like icing on a cake to make it palatable, particularly to Republicans, but even to Democrats, too. So they've got to hide the fact that they are doing banker bailouts. And the Democrats are doing this, too. Make no mistake about it. I just don't want to see Republicans. See, I'm watching Republicans turn into socialists before my very eyes. And so I'm raising the alarm bells to tell you, you're getting hoodwinked again. But Democrats are sat by, and they're allowing the Federal Reserve to do all these programs. The Democrats are allowing the biggest corporations to get this money. Oh, yeah, Nancy Pelosi didn't get her Green New Deal. That's just her political theater part of it. The bottom line is the special interests that fund both parties in Congress are getting theirs. And the Democrats don't want their people to know either. That's why she puts all this stuff about organized labor and all this stuff. She knew she wasn't going to get that stuff done in this bill. But she had to appear like she was fighting for her constituency, the people on the left who've always got their hand out. She had to look like she was fighting for them. And that way it hides to the Democratic voter, to the liberals out there. It hides the banker bailout that just sailed through bipartisan in the Senate, 96-0. I don't know what the final vote in the House was. Poor little Thomas Massie, hoisted on his own petard by a bunch of conservatives who pretend that they're fiscal conservatives. He's the only guy watching out for the Constitution and spending, and Trump himself said he wants him drummed out of the Republican Party for standing in the way of this bailout bill. Now, when I come back, I'm going to give you some stories of some people who are already hitting the news as having benefited from the bailouts. And it ain't you and me. Some big names here making some big dollars in record amounts of time right under our nose. And we're all sitting around doing internet searches for how do I get my $1,200 check. Jeez Louise, we're a pathetic group of people right now. Stay with me.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
right. So, by my calculations, the American people in Main Street are getting about 6 to 7% of all bailouts that have been announced over the last 10 to 14 days in response to the coronavirus. To bolster that, I've done the math. Now, I've got a series of headlines that show you, you know, because I look at this. I mean, this is one of those things that I'm able to see that other people can't see because I don't have to look through the, you know, red or blue lenses. I don't have to take something that looks bad. You know, to most conservatives, you look at a bailout bill and you go, I thought we didn't like huge government spending. But you, then you have to look and you have to wait for Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell to tell you why, no, this is a good one. See, I don't have to do that, so I can parse through the numbers and actually establish the facts of the matter. I don't like it, whether a Republican does it or not. During the Barack Obama administration, they were fundamentally changing the economic system of the United States, not to the betterment of the people. This is one of the reasons Donald Trump got elected. They're still doing it now, and this bailout bill is showing it. Here's a couple of headlines or stories that I ran across, just to kind of show you. You know, because you got to think, hey, I mean, some of you are going to get $1,200 checks, $500 for each child. I mean, that's something if you lose your job for 3 or 4 months. I mean, and some people are going to get unemployment benefits and those kinds of things. But when you look at the totality, who's really making the money, right? I mean, even the expanded unemployment benefits are not going to send somebody into some level of wealth, right? It's not life-changing money. It's good money, $600 a week to somebody who's making $25,000 a year right now that gets laid off. I mean, they just got a raise. So if you, but it's not escape velocity where you're suddenly going to become one of the wealthy people in this country by what they trickle out to us. But there are some people getting wealthy during this time. Let's see who they are. This headline appeared on Friday. Stocks tumble after Fed announces it will reduce Treasury QE from $75 billion to $60 billion per day. Now, what's interesting about that headline, Mike? Sounds like the Fed's actually taking a program down. Doesn't that counter what you're saying right now, that they're just printing endless amount of money? Look, they're doing less. Well, that's kind of true. Of course, they could reverse this at any point. What's interesting about this is after the 2008 crisis, the Treasury was doing $60 billion per month. Per month, $60 billion. Now they're doing it per day. I don't know, by my calculation, again, a public school graduate, carry the one, that's 30 times as high. They're printing off 30 times the amount they did in response to the financial crisis in 2008. But no, we don't have a problem. Everything's fantastic, Mike. Don't worry about it. Let's see who's another one here. Let's see what else here. Oh, here's another winner from what's going on right now. Cash is coming in nonstop at J.P. Morgan's equity derivatives unit, which generated $1.5 billion in revenue so far this year, according to Bloomberg. That number equals almost all of what J.P. Morgan reported from all equity market businesses in last year's first quarter. It's also twice what the desk usually earns. There you go. They doubled their $750 million in revenue to $1.5 billion in revenue at J.P. Morgan. But don't worry, you're getting your $1,200 check. Here's a really good one. This is actually a week old, so I'm a little slow to get to this one. Even as the U.S. stock market continued its free fall due to the coronavirus pandemic, the top banker at Goldman Sachs got a pay raise of $2 million a year, a $7.65 million cash bonus, plus stock options worth $17.8 million. That's Goldman Sachs, ladies and gentlemen. One of your owners of the Federal Reserve. You know, the Federal Reserve's owned by private banks. So he's doing quite well. But don't worry, you're getting your check for $1,200. And then I just cannot resist repeating this story one more time. Now, again, remember, the American people have been used as collateral to bail out the hedge fund industry since last September. This is before even the first cases of coronavirus in China. We hadn't even heard the term COVID-19 back in September, yet the hedge funds were getting bailed out. The hedge funds and, coincidentally, J.P. Morgan, who just reported that their profits have doubled so far this year. So every day in the repo market, the Federal Reserve has been signing your name on loans that go out to the banks like J.P. Morgan and the hedge funds. Some of these hedge funds would not have existed any longer. They would not have probably seen 2020 had it not been for this repo market bailout. And here's how they've cashed in. At the beginning of March, Bill Ackman revealed that his investment firm, Pershing Square Capital Management, now this is a hedge fund, had bought $27 million worth of credit protection on global investment grade and high yield credit indexes in late February to limit portfolio loss amid coronavirus spurred market volatility. The timing of that investment couldn't have been better. Major stock indices began their free fall on March 6 and hit the rocket bottom on Monday, the same day Ackman finished unwinding those hedges and reaped $2.6 billion. Now again, this is a hedge fund that might not have even existed this year were it not for taxpayer bailouts in September of last year, the bailouts you don't know about that no one else is talking about. But since he did, since he was bailed out, now, I don't know how much particularly went to him, but I do understand that if they had not bailed out the repo markets last year, bad things would have rippled through the entire financial sector. And there's a good chance this Pershing Square Capital Management hedge fund would have been taken under or at least severely harmed. But since taxpayers were put on the hook and they bailed these hedge funds out for the past 7 months, he was able to take $27 million and within a month turn it into $2.6 billion. Should I do this next one now? Let's just go ahead and do it. Let's put it all in one pretty little segment. Last Friday, around the time of the quad-witching collapse, which sent the S&P to levels not seen since Trump's inauguration, amid a flurry of headlines bombarding shell-shocked traders, was one that was particularly ominous, if bizarrely incomplete. Shortly after the close, Bloomberg blasted the following headline: CFTC providing relief to large U.S. bank active in oil and gas. There was little additional information to go with that report aside from the CFTC saying it would temporarily exempt a U.S. bank from a requirement to register as a major swap participant. Now, I know, look, I'm diverting from the story here, a little editorial aside from Mike Madison here. I know a lot of this stuff is complicated and some of these terms don't seem to make any sense. I hope I'm stressing the big picture of this. I'm trying to don't get lost in, you know, market cash treasury swaps, that kind of stuff. Look, I barely understand this stuff and I've been studying it for 20 years. The point is to follow the numbers. The numbers of Pershing Square turning $27 million into $2.6 billion within 1 month. And he might not have even been alive, with his hedge fund might not have even been alive if he hadn't been bailed out for the past 6 months. Here's what the CFTC, and this is, you know, one of your regulatory bodies, right? The regulatory bodies out there, you know, the ones that are supposed to rein in corporate excesses. According to Reuters, the CFTC designation entails a number of complex and costly reporting and compliance obligations, which the CFTC spokesman said could hurt the institution's ability to keep lending. Bottom line, translation of that is that this bank was in so much trouble they were going to have to reclassify it, which was going to heap a bunch of new regulations on them and possibly harm their ability to lend money and collect interest. So the CFTC said, oh, we don't want to hurt this big bank, so we just won't do that. Here's the kicker of the story. In short, Capital One, that's the bank we're talking about, made a terrible trade, betting via derivatives that oil would not plunge to where it is now at 17-year lows, and only CFTC intervention prevented a margin call of unknown magnitude from being sent to Capital One's corner office. In effect, the CFTC allowed Capital One to incur even greater ongoing losses while buying at a quarter's worth of time in hopes that oil rebounds. But what happens if instead of rebounding, oil keeps grinding lower and, as we've warned earlier today, this is from the story, actually goes negative as oil storage space runs out? The cumulative exposure facing Capital One would be many billions and could possibly render the bank insolvent. This is what's going on in the financial system right now. And it's been going on for a while. Again, these kinds of operations have been going on for 11 years. And they've been trying to intermittently put out fires. You know how Trump talks about this some with California in their wildfire season, that he says that they have not been managing their forest well. And sometimes you have to do controlled burns, right? to clear out some of the underbrush and get rid of it so you don't have a lot of kindling for the next big major fire. And in order to do that, firefighters and forest managers go out and they deliberately set fires. What the Federal Reserve's been doing for the past, particularly for the last 11, 12 years, is every time even a spark came, they were trying to snuff it out because they were scared of the fire. Instead of doing controlled burns and letting things, you know, naturally happen here or there and clearing out some of the debt excesses, no, they were putting out every tiny little fire. And just like the forest, now the financial system is overgrown with debt. They didn't allow anybody to fail. Every time there was a sign of trouble anywhere, they rushed in with billions and billions of dollars to bail out, in this case, Capital One, or in J.P. Morgan's case, or municipal bond funds, or the hedge funds. They rush in with these emergency measures to make sure that we can't let anybody fail because it might ripple through the whole system. Well, now they've built up this system where it's so fragile. It is this forest with all of this kindling and underbrush of debt. And eventually you can't control it, just like a California wildfire. Eventually, it just happens, and it's happening right now. So is Capital One insolvent? We won't know. They don't talk to us about this. I mean, who else are you going to hear this story from? Nobody, because this isn't fun. We want to talk about Trump's ratings. I want to talk about Joe Biden's rambling on in the few little interviews he's done. Golly, he's bad. It's almost horrifying to think if Joe Biden was in charge right now during this response, it would be the most confusing, catastrophic time in American history. If that guy, you want to talk about mixed messages, holy cow. The guy can't keep a thought between the first and the last word of a sentence. But while everybody's been paying attention to those things, these are the things that have been going on behind the scenes. And this stimulus bill, this bailout bill, dang it, I said it again. It's not stimulus, it's a bailout bill. If this is successful, it is essentially adding more underbrush to the forest. It's not fixing anything. It's making it worse long term. And now that I have spent an extensive amount of time explaining to you during this hour that the American people in Main Street are only getting about 6-7% of the total amounts that have been announced in bailout funds, you should realize how big of a scam. See, what's happening is if the Federal Reserve didn't give this 5-point-whatever-trillion-dollars to the banking system and the financial interest, some of them are going to go under. They're saving their butts. They're going to send you $1,200. For people that are severely impacted by coronavirus, that's barely going to put a dent in the problems that they're facing right now. But they're just doing that because they had to. Because if they just did a flat-out banker bailout without wrapped up in the shiny bow of we love the people and we're getting money straight out to them, people would be in the streets if they realized what I've just talked about for the last hour, which is that the banks, the financial institution, and the mega corporations are walking away out of this bailout stuff with about 93% of every dollar gone.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, only got a few minutes left. I'm going to kind of recap. You know, this show is different on a whole lot of different levels. One is I do kind of long-form radio. And I just spent an hour covering one topic because it's vitally important for people to understand, the synopsis of which is, and if you want to hear the whole thing, I encourage you, go through my numbers that I've just laid out to you over the last hour and debunk them in any way. Feel free. Show me where I'm wrong. The bailout of the American people is designed to keep your head above water. Keep the consumer consuming when we are unlocked down. But tremendous amount of wealth is being created at the upper levels the same way it was from 2008 up into and including today. The American people, now the numbers are big. I'll grant you that. Look, the big bailout that really cranked off the Tea Party and Occupy Wall Street was something like, you know, $800 billion back in 2008 that went straight to the bankers and everybody got incensed. They're actually funneling more to the people than they did to the banks in 2008, at least in the first program. Over the years, they've done trillions and trillions to the banks and to the 0.01%. So the number of the people, it sounds big, right? But when you look at the totality of it, the percentage of it, I believe the American people are getting about 6 to 7%. Of the total bailout figures there. I'm looking at and again, I told you, it's because they knew a financial crisis was coming. This gives them the perfect cover to do a bailout package for the banks, for the financial elite in this country, and disguise it as help for the American people. Just because the numbers are so massive, they were able to do this big package for us, but they're not letting you see the massive package for everybody else. I'm looking at this. This is the Dallas Fed Manufacturing Survey. If you look at it, it's just fallen out of bed. And that's to be understood, you know. It's down substantially. The thing is about this chart that's even more telling that most people won't pay attention to is the fact that it peaked in 2018, and this has been coming down over the past 2 years. And this is about manufacturing. See, they knew the economy was slowing down and the banks were in trouble. A slowing economy with increasing debt is a recipe for disaster. For people like the Federal Reserve and the banksters, this is a bit of a gift to them, and I've been reporting on the headlines of how they're cashing in on it right now. And if the Republicans are going to turn into socialists and people that are dependent on the government just like the Democrats are, then I'm going to at least go down swinging. I'm going to point these things out to you so that maybe you wake up and realize that this bailout, again, I've been trying to think of a name for the segment. I think the Great American Screwjob may be the best title for it, although I've had a couple of good suggestions from listeners. I appreciate those. Anyway, not on my watch do they get away with this without anybody speaking up about it. That's all the time I've got today. Stay tuned for Dr. Livingston. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.